In 1993, Andy McDowell played a character named Rita, and Bill Murray played a character named Phil in the movie Groundhog Day. I don't know if any of you have seen that particular movie, but it's a great movie, very funny. It has all kinds of great scenes. One I would like to reference today is when Phil has just asked Rita, who is her perfect guy? Rita says, well, first of all, he's too humble to know he's perfect. Phil looks at her and goes, that's me. Rita says, he's intelligent, supportive, funny. Phil says, me? Rita says, it's romantic and courageous. Phil says, me also. Rita says, he's got a good body, but he doesn't have to look in the mirror every 2 minutes. Phil says, I have a great body and sometimes go for months without looking. Rita says he's kind, sensitive, gentle, and not afraid to cry in front of me. Phil says, this is a man we're talking about, right? Rita says he likes animals and children and he will change poopy diapers. Phil says, does he have to use the word poopy? And Rita says, oh, and he plays an instrument and loves his mother. Phil says, I am really close on this one. Really, really close. What's funny about this scene, first of all, Bill Murray's a riot, but what's funny about this scene is, as a movie audience, we know Phil, and he is not this kind of guy, not even in the least. A few years back, there was a poll on the internet that asked this question: which one member of your family is the best looking? You want to know how the recipients responded? The top rated answer was me. A majority of the respondents listed themselves as the best looking member of their family, which corresponds to another public opinion poll, which asked people which member of their family was the smartest. Once again, myself or me were the highest ranked answers. But when asked which family member was the most likely to tell a lie, myself or me ranked 9th out of 10 possible answers. So in our society, most of us think we're better looking, smarter, and more honest than any other person in our family. Who are you? Who do you think you are? How do you think other people view you? This is at the heart of today's gospel lesson, isn't it? How do you think other people see you and think of you? Now, Jesus didn't have much of a problem with what the Pharisees taught the people. They were trying to teach what Moses and the prophets had written down. The problem Jesus had with the Pharisees was that they saw themselves as better than everybody else. They didn't want to do what they taught. What they did was for show, and they wanted everybody else to be impressed with them. This sort of self-important self-perception, unfortunately, is still with us today. It's certainly still within our religious community, but it's also throughout our society as well. Most of us in our society tend to think of ourselves as better looking, smarter, and more honest than those around us. Jesus teaches his disciples and us some important lessons here. He tells his disciples they are not to be called rabbi, which means teacher. They're not to be called father, not to be called instructor. Does this mean that when you were at school, you shouldn't have called your teachers teacher? Does this mean you shouldn't call your fathers father? Or you shouldn't call your instructors instructor? No, again, context is important here. The Pharisees had a lot of particular terms that they used within the Pharisaic schools of thought. A rabbi, father of a rabbi, the rabbi father in particular, was one who started a new school of thought on how to interpret the scriptures. Gamaliel, for example, was a father in the rabbinic school. As a father, he had the authority to proclaim how it is, and everyone else in that school had to obey and honor him. Instructors within that school were the ones who decided how the scriptures were to be understood within that school of thought. Jesus is telling his disciples, you guys aren't going to be doing that. We're not setting up another school of thought in the Pharisaic system of religion here. You guys aren't to be rabbis. You guys aren't to be fathers in this kind of school of thought either. You're not going to be the one to tell people how it is. You're all students. You're all brothers here. And further, there's no instructor per se, because I am the instructor. I, Jesus, not me, Lance. Jesus is the instructor. And he's telling you how it all fits together. Don't change it. Later on in the church, and we heard in the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul calls himself a father. He's not telling people that he is the one with the most authority in the church. No, he's comparing himself to a dad and a family, like a spiritual father looking out for his family's spiritual well-being. That's like what I do as well. It's similar to being a pastor or a shepherd. Some of you people call me father. Now, as I mentioned, I'm not the authority in the church. Jesus Christ is our authority. And then for us, Bishop Dabney Smith is our authority. He's my boss, per se. But not even Bishop Smith is free to do or say whatever he wants, because he is under the authority of Holy Scripture, just like I am, just like you are. The point Jesus is making in this section here is in the last two verses. He said, "The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled. All who humble themselves will be exalted." You see, it's not about what titles one may have. It's not about what people think about you. It's not about how great you may think you are either. What's important in God's kingdom is how well you serve. You see, in the kingdom of God, things are different than how they are in the world. In fact, they're 180 degrees different. In our society, it's important for others to know your name. And it's important for others to think highly of you. But that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you must be the servant. The lesson Jesus teaches us here is the same lesson Jesus teaches his disciples on the night of the Last Supper when he washes their feet. It's the lesson of servanthood. In the year 390, some 78 years after Emperor Constantine legalized Christianity, there was a fellow by the name of Simeon who was born. Now, at that point in time, Christianity was not only legal, it was the most popular religion in the empire. But Simeon felt like there was too much corruption in society and even in the church. So Simeon separated himself from sinful society by choosing to live on the top of a narrow pillar many stories high so that nobody could be by him. He became known as Simon the Stylite. He spent 37 years living at the top of various pillars as a sign of devotion. Now, other monks became jealous of Simeon's religious devotion, and so they began building their own pillars to live on. And after a while, pillar sitting became a full-blown competition. And then there was a woman named Agnes de Rocher, She was the only daughter of a wealthy merchant who lived in the Middle Ages in the 1400s. After her father died, when she was only 18 years old, according to the records, she didn't want to be soiled by the world. And because she was the heiress and wealthy, she said she wanted to be entombed in a cell inside the church. So they built a cell that went around her body, leaving only a small opening through which Agnes could breathe, hear the prayers that were said in the church, hear the masses that were performed in church, and receive food. She lived for 80 years to age 98 inside this self-imposed prison. Agnes and Simeon had it wrong, though. As Christians, we are to be the agents of change. We are not to be conformed to the world and its standards. Instead, we are to bring the standards of Jesus into the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We're the ones that make the change, not us being changed by the world around us. Jesus wants us to have a clear perception on who we are. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we really are, like Phil and the Pharisees did. Yet we're not to hide out or separate ourselves, like Agnes and Simeon did. Jesus challenges us to be great, in the kingdom of heaven. Let's make our lives count. Let us learn to serve. Amen.
Amen.